Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for coming today. I'm Emmanuel Ojo, and my co-presenters are Paul Bullock and Oluwole Akinremi. I'm from the University of Manitoba in Canada, and my topic is modeling soil moisture from real-time weather data. So this is a broad topic, but I'll narrow it down to the specifics. The introduction: in most growing season, it's always either of these two. It's either you have a deficit of water, and the farmers are out with the irrigation and stuff like that, or you have excess, in which the picture over here was actually taken sometime in June this year in Saskatchewan, Canada, and the Stats Canada estimated a third of the whole land being too moist to be seeded. So a third of the prairie of Saskatchewan was not seeded because of excess moisture, and that's leads me to the importance of modeling in soil moisture. Soil moisture, as you all know, plays a very important role in many agricultural management decisions, and it ultimately influences the yield and crop quality. It's important in flood forecasting, and it also helps to determine the severity of flooding. Modeling soil moisture helps us to understand the dynamics of this fundamental phenomena, and it gives quantitative estimates, and that's what I'm working on. Some common method of estimating volumetric soil moisture: we have the gravimetric sampling, which has been the I think long traditional method. We have the neutron scattering, and we have the frequency domain effect. This is just some common method. We have other methods with us than we know, and I'll be focusing a bit on this because I'm comparing my modeled results to the frequency domain reflectometry, and this was chosen because it gives continuous data values, so that's why we chose these. Other methods are point methods, but this gives a continuous reading. My research background: the model I'm working on is called the Versatile Soil Moisture Budget, and it's a model that uses the water balance to estimate soil moisture at different depths in the profile. It was introduced by Beer and Roberts in 1966, and other scientists have done a lot of work to modify it to make sure that it have a better estimate of soil moisture. The FAO Pema Monthit equation by Allen et al. Has been reported to give better evapotranspiration estimates. So, as we all know, all soil moisture budgets needs that evapotranspiration input to be able to have an accurate or a better estimate. And access to solar radiation data using pyranometers to replace estimate from Hargreaves is expected to improve the ETO estimates from FAO and other models such as the Priestley-Taylor. So this is just a background of the field installation. I'm working on both ways, the modeling aspect and the field aspect, because I need to compare my modeled results to a calibrated field result. So out there on the field, I had 13 sites, 2009 and 2010, and I dug a profile, installed the hydro probe at different depth, 5, 20, 50 and 100 centimeters. Then the holes were backfilled. I dug a trench back to the weather station. In all of the sites, I have a weather station that is about 60 feet at the minimum from the point of the soil probes. And I also use some other methods just as a background. So I have the neutron meter and the PR2 probes. These are just giving point estimates so that I can have more calibration points. My objective, the main objective of this research, is to improve the accuracy of the VSMB using the real-time weather data. Then to compare the observed solar radiation using pyranometers to Hargreaves estimates. At the moment, the model uses the Hargreaves to estimate solar radiation, but with the access to radiation data from pyranometers, we expect that this should give a better estimate. And lastly, to compare the ETO estimate from the FAO 56 Pema Monthit equation to the Priestley-Taylor. Lots of scientists have done a lot of research on this, and the consensus has been that the FAO 56 Pema Monthit gives a better ETO estimate. So these would be the focus of my presentation today. Soil moisture balance equation. I think my focus today would be on the evaporation and the transpiration aspect. So that'll be the focus of my presentation today, but this is just the Sermostra balance equation. And we all know that these two parameters combined together called the evapotranspiration actually drives this model, sort of, because that is what takes out the water. Once you have the rainfall or the irrigation, then the water is lost basically through evapotranspiration. At times you have runoff if there is excess or deep drainage. These are just the equations that we're comparing, the FL Perlman-Moffitt 56 and the Priestley-Taylor. For this presentation, the standard would be the FL 56 ETO. That'll be the standard, and I'll be comparing it with the Priestley-Taylor, which is what the model at the moment runs on. Now, result from the solar radiation from the argreaves against that of the pyranometer. From seven of my sites, the other sites, the analysis are not ready yet, but from seven of the sites, the root mean square error shows that I had like an average of 5 megajoules per meter square per day difference in the argreaves equation compared to what the pyranometer reading gave me. And this is just a graphical representation of that. And well, in two sites, Modern and Portage, Modern had 5.95 and Portage had 4.55. And something so interesting to me, when I looked at it, I discovered that there were lots of peaks in my pyranometer reading that the argreaves equation couldn't capture. So I was curious as to know why that happened. And I discovered that those days were days that were kind of humid. The season's relative humidity mean, the minimum was 53 and the maximum mean was 96. But in most of these days, they were very humid. I have 80, 95, 62, 96. That's the range from the minimum to the maximum. So I observed that that could have been one of the major influences why the argreaves equation couldn't estimate the solar radiation very well on those days. The other days kind of have a very good pattern, but just at those days that were humid. And now I want to compare the result from the FAO ETO against the Priestley-Taylor, which is what it runs at the moment. Still using Modern as my site to compare with. I observed that here the Priestley-Taylor equation overestimated the ETO. The ETO is in millimeter per day, and it was overestimated. And the first graphs gives the results using the argreaves, because both the ETO from the FAO Perlman-Moffitt and the Priestley-Taylor needs the solar radiation input. So when I use the solar radiation from argreaves, this was the result. It was typical in all the sites. And when I use the solar radiation from pyranometer reading, which was the observed sensor, this was the result. And still using Modern as my test site. And in both cases, it observed that the Priestley-Taylor overestimated the ETO for the days, and with different RMSE. And now here I'm comparing the ETO from pyranometers against that of the solar radiation, sorry, from pyranometers against that of the argreaves. And it's from here, we can see here that the FAO ETO from the pyranometer, just as we saw in the first slide, when I started showing the results, the ETO here was so low compared to what the argreaves give, and which is normal because the argreaves solar radiation couldn't estimate the solar radiation very well, unlike the pyranometer. And here I'm comparing the Priestley-Taylor, and the same thing happens, but just here in the Priestley-Taylor, there were more variation compared to what we had in the FAO 56. So the FAO 56 equation was a bit reserved compared to the Priestley-Taylor. Now, my conclusion from this result just show that the solar radiation estimate from the argreaves equation is conservative compared to what was observed using the pyranometer sensor, and this was more on humid days, and this is re reflected under the estimation of ETO on such days. And also, the ETO result from the FL 56 per month, it justifies the increase in data input required, just as we saw in the slide that showed the equations. The ETO per month, it have more data input required compared to the Priestley-Taylor. So high accuracy in modeling is enhanced when more factors influencing the phenomena is taken into account. So my future application of this research, I'm looking at the possibility of developing a coefficient just to modify the Hargreaves equation on humid days so that we can better estimate the solar radiation where limited data information is available compared to the FAO per month that uses lots of data. The Hargreaves equation needs just a little data. So if we can have a coefficient to adjust those on the humid data, I'm sure it would better estimate the ETO. Then the soil moisture output from the VSMB, which is the overall objective, will be compared to values from calibrated FDR sensor. At the moment, I have some FDR sensors out there on the field that gives daily reading, but the Red River clay, that soil that we have up there in the prairies, the FDR sensor needs to be calibrated so that we'll be sure that we are comparing the modeled results to to something that is happening right there live on the field. So higher correlation coefficient between the modeled and the observed soil moisture content is expected compared to the earlier versions of the VSMB. Acknowledgement, I want to acknowledge the following agencies for the funding: the Agri-Food Research and Development Initiative, Canadian Wheat Board, Manitoba Agriculture and Food and Rural Initiative, as well as Manitoba Water Stewardship. Thank you. Questions? All right, sir.
How do you know that Simon Montes was correct?
How do we know if it's correct? Well, from past journals that compared both Permamonthit and a lot of other ETO estimates. Yeah, so it was basically a journal referred. It
Well, I'm
was.
telling you it's not correct. How are you going to prove that I'm wrong?
Okay, how do I prove that you're wrong? I'll just refer you to what most of the work had been. And well, that's what I based this on.
You wouldn't try to measure it?
What say?
You wouldn't try to measure something?
Yeah, sure, we did. But well, one of the things I also did at most of the sites were to well, most weather stations at the moment uses the FAO sort of to estimate ETO. So what I did was I put in most of my input value, and I don't have anything out there basically measuring the ETO, maybe the pan evapotranspiration or something. No, it's basically using this. Yeah. All right, sir.
I noticed that in your estimates of ET naught,
Yeah.
the values are barely 4 millimeters per day. Do you think that's correct? Maximum ETO?
Can you say that again, please?
In your data that you presented on your calculations of ET naught, the
Yeah.
values range between 1 and 4 millimeters per day. The maximum was 5 millimeters.
Yeah.
That is a very low water use.
Yeah, well, that was what we observed. I don't I would
What time of the year is this?
That was in the growing season from May to September, I think.
And what kind of give me a value of daily radiation. How many megajoules per day are you getting?
We get an average, I would say a range of say from 5 to like 28 thereabout.
And you're only going to get 4 millimeters of water per use per day under those conditions. And this is high. This is an irrigated crop. Is that correct?
No,
It's
they're
not.
not rain-fed.
This is rain-fed.
Yeah.
What kind of rainfall do you have during the season?
We generally don't have like a specific pattern, but yeah, it depends. Oftentimes it's always dry and we have all these tons of rainfall. Maybe about at times we have up to like 100 millimeter in a day.
It's just an observation.
Yeah.
It seems like the values are on the low
Low
side.
side.
I'm not saying that they're right or wrong.
Okay.
I'm just saying that they're on the low side.
All right, noted. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.